Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? All right. Well, I am so thankful to be here today. I'm so glad that you are here joining us as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you for being here. Whether this is your millionth time being here or this is your very first time, thank you so much for coming and joining us at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. What comes to mind when I say the word change? Change. What comes to your mind? I want to show you a little picture here. Please don't be alarmed. Okay. All right. Let me explain a little bit. Why are you laughing? This is a very serious moment. All right. Oh, as you can see, there's a few pictures there. That first one, I think I was about 12 years old, and yes, I was a healthy child, and thankful for that, thankful for the care and love that my family gave me, and that's this other picture in the middle, that's me as well, 39 years old, that was taken just not too long ago, and that last picture at the end, I used the app that that generates a picture of me for when I'm about 80 years old, what I might look like. Oh, that looks kind of strange, I know. But, okay, there's a huge change there, right? You get the point. But we all experience change in one way or another, right? But what if I were to ask you, have you ever experienced radical change? Okay, don't be afraid. I use the word radical. Okay? Have you ever seen or experienced radical change? Well, some of you might say, yeah, I just saw it up there on the screen. That's pretty radical. But when you think of the word radical, right, it has a number of meanings. And one of those is revolutionary. Or to be more specific, radical change means an extreme or substantial change in an existing system. A radical event is an event that takes the current system and does what? It flips it totally upside down. Something truly radical changes all that we know in an instant. And when I consider today, when I consider God's Word, nothing brought more extreme change than what? Than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was put in the grave, in the tomb, and he rose from the dead. That single event stands unrivaled as the most radical event in history. The Apostle Paul makes this case. If you were to look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, some of those in the church at that time, in the Corinthian church, they were saying that there was no resurrection of the dead. And they were even claiming that Jesus did not rise from the dead, and it didn't really matter at all. But Paul speaks in opposition to this train of thought by saying that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith, you, church, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is worthless. And you are still in your sin. This is how radical the resurrection is. If it didn't happen, we would still be dead and hopeless in our sin. And everything we believe about God, everything we believe about Jesus, about salvation, would be empty and meaningless. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, the resurrection changes everything. And here we are again this week, just as last week, we're in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And last week we saw the example of Jesus Christ. When he served and loved the disciples to the end, he served them humbly by washing their feet. He gave us this example of humble service, and he commands us to do the same. He calls us to serve just like him. But here we are this morning in chapter 20. And when you look at chapter 19 and 20 of the book of John, we see change happening all around. We'll see, if you guys were able to read chapter 19, chapter 20, you see in the book of John, you see change in Joseph, you see change in Nicodemus, as they were hidden disciples of Jesus Christ, but now openly following Jesus, following him. You see the change of the treatment of Jesus, of him being tortured and crucified, to now, after he was He died and was put in the tomb. You see affection and adoration. You see a change happening physically at the grave. It once had a body in it, and now it's empty. And not only that, but you see a change in Mary. Mary, the one that went to the tomb looking for Jesus, you know, when she didn't see the body there, she was weeping. And yet as you read through that chapter, you'll see that that weeping turns into rejoicing. And these are big changes happening here. But see, the radical change, the biggest, the greatest thing that happens here as we are reading, as we're studying in the book of John, is the earth-shaking reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, because when Jesus rises from the dead, all of creation is completely changed. Things will never be the same. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And so I want to invite you to read with me. If you'd like to follow along in your outline, there's an outline in your bulletin. We're going to have the verses up here on the screen. So I want to ask you just to read silently as I read aloud. Or you're invited just to listen as I read this passage. I want to read to you from the book of John, chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. The book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now, before I read this, please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank You so much for today. Thank You for allowing us to be here. Thank You, God, for Your Word. Your Word is the truth. And God, I pray that You would open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to see You, help us to hear You, help us to understand Your Word. God, give us sensitivity to Your Holy Spirit. And God, as we study Your Word this morning, I pray that it would change us, that You would change us, and that we would live it out. And God, as we are reminded and as we learn more about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God, I pray that we would choose to trust You, and that we would be open, and that we would be aware of how the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And so God, help us. Thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I want to read for you these verses. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put Him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? What is it? Who is it? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking He was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him and I will get Him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. You see, as we look at this passage, it's my prayer that we realize that the resurrection of Jesus, it changes every single thing. It changes everything. And what exactly has been changed because of the resurrection in this passage? What do we see here that has changed? And the first thing that I want us to look at is that the resurrection changes the power of death. The resurrection changes the power of death. Now, we all know that birth and death, they're all common human experiences, right? They are simply unavoidable. Human life, the short time span between the womb and the tomb, it's described by God, when you look at the book of Psalms, chapter 39, our life is described as a vapor. Our lives last no longer than a mist shot from a spray bottle outside in the 110 degree heat. We're like plants in my backyard, green and lush when we first bought them from the nursery, and then withered the next day because I haven't watered them. This is Mary's mindset when Jesus dies. She goes to the tomb, right, looking for his body with anticipation, longing to see him. But what is she really doing? She's looking for the part of Jesus that is left after he physically died. And what happens when she finds that the body is gone? She reports back to the disciples. What does she say? She says, "I cannot find Jesus' body. They've taken it and I don't know where they have put it." Right? When you look at verse 2. But look at what she says in verse 18. Look at the change here. She doesn't say, I have seen the Lord's body. Right? After she finally meets Jesus face to face and sees him, though at first she didn't recognize him, she didn't say, "Guys, guess what? I saw the body of Jesus." What does she say in verse 18? She says, "Guys, I have seen the Lord. Jesus conquered death. In his infinite power, he defeated death." You know, when you think about it, before Jesus rose from the dead, every single person in existence walk this earth with a death sentence hanging over our heads. But Jesus Christ paid the price on our behalf. He took the penalty for our sin when he went up there on that cross. You see, the resurrection changes the power of death. Not only that, but the reality of the resurrection, it gives us healing. Jesus showed us that the resurrection awaits all those who are his children by faith once we pass from this life here on earth. And when you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, it says this: "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." The writer of Hebrews here is saying that through Jesus' death, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, the devil, and freed us. Those who are broken and in sin, enslaved by our fear of death. Now, when I read this passage, and I'm thinking about how the resurrection has healed me and made me whole through faith in Jesus Christ, I thought about death. And I know we don't like thinking about death. Nobody likes to think about death. But why is it that people fear, oftentimes? Why do people fear death? And I think a lot of times it's because either they're uncertain of the future, or they have a misunderstanding of the future. Why do people fear death? It's because they don't know what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen when we die, or people have the wrong understanding of what will happen after we die, according to God's Word, His truth. You see, when we fear death, what happens? The fear of death limits our hopes and dreams to what is temporary. The things of this world, the things that fade and will never satisfy. And this is why materialism and following Jesus cannot coexist. We either serve God or we serve stuff. What is materialism? Materialism is pursuing happiness by accumulating stuff in this world. But what is following Jesus? What is Christianity? It's giving up all of your stuff and ultimately your life so that you may gain life and find joy and peace in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, what does materialism do? Materialism chains us. It chains us. It binds us. It makes us a slave to a world that is dying. And when material things are our God, we're always grasping for more. We always want more. We want to get more. And the more that we get, the tighter that we hold on to it. And the more that we hold on to tightly, the more that we're weighed down and buried in our temporary pleasures that will never fully satisfy. But for Christians, what's the difference? What difference does the resurrection make? For Christians, the resurrection of Jesus brings a revolutionary change to our perspective. You see, because Jesus conquered death, because my sins have been wiped away through faith in Him, I am alive. Death no longer has a claim on me. I have been set free. I have been set free to live, and to live for what lasts. You see, as we follow Jesus, instead of holding on to every little thing of this world, in Christ we're able to live with open hands, giving up everything in this life because we're guaranteed another, a greater, eternal life with our Lord, with our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, Charles Swindoll, he once said this: "The devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a while longer, but don't worry. The forces of evil are breathing their last. Not to worry. He is risen. Jesus Christ is risen." Because He conquered death, we can live. We can truly live with our hearts set on the rest of eternity, knowing that we will be with Jesus for the rest of forever. And ultimately, we will be with Him where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more brokenness. Because Jesus is alive, we can have healing from our sin. We can have eternal life. The reality of the resurrection, not only does it heal us, it also gives us hope. Right? The Bible tells us this, and we know this full well. Those of you that are members of this church, that have studied the Bible, you know this full well, that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the penalty for our sin is death. We are all dead in our sin, yet the gift of God is what? The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear friends, did you know that you were created for eternity? God created you for eternity. And why is it, if God created us for eternity, why do we become so focused on the temporary? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus, He is our only hope for a future. You see, when we look at the resurrection, what else does the resurrection change? If you look at that second point on your outline, the resurrection changes who I am. The resurrection changes who you are at your core, at your being, your innermost being. Now, if I were to ask you, who are you? What would and what could you tell me about yourself? What would you choose to tell me about yourself? If I were to ask you, who are you? Well, I can imagine what I would hear. Some of the responses. Well, you'd share your name. You might share where you're from, where you were born. You might share your career, what you do, what kind of work you do. But see, dear friends, I pray that whenever somebody asks you that question, who are you? Or whenever you consider who you are, I pray that you would see yourself in light of God's Word, in light of God's truth, in light of who you were created to be. You see, because in Christ, we have a new position. In Christ, we have a new position. And if you look at this passage here, and you look at the Gospel of John, the word Father is used, I think, 108 times. The Gospel of John, the word Father is used 108 times. And in verse 17, look at verse 17. Chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You see, in verse 17 is the only time Jesus refers to God as the disciples' Father. Jesus tells Mary to pass this message on to the disciples. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In verse 17, this is the only time in the Gospel of John that Jesus refers to the disciples also as his brothers. Why is that? It's because in Christ we have a new position. In Christ we have a new identity. You, in Christ, are a child of God, a son of the Creator, an heir, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. And this is our identity when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. When we repent and turn from our sin and turn to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. "For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." You see, in Christ we have this new identity. We are no longer identified as sinners. But in Christ, because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because Jesus rose from the dead, we are now sons of God. We are children of God. We are heirs with Jesus Christ. You think about any of you that have children. You think about leaving something for them after we pass away. That's their inheritance, right? And you think about all of the richness of God. He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one and only true living God. And yet He calls us fellow heirs with Jesus. Jesus is one and only Son. We have an inheritance. And we have this great inheritance because we have this new identity in Jesus. Not only do we have a new position in Christ, but in Christ we have a new purpose. Not really a new purpose. In Christ we find our purpose. Do you know that you were created for so much more than just going to school, just finding a job, saving your money, having a family, and retiring? You are created for so much more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." We're talking about Jesus. You and I, we were created for Jesus to point to the greatness of the one and only true living God. You were created to glorify God. You were created to know Him, to love Him, to know His love, and to tell the world that we have a Savior who came and died and rose from the dead so that we may have life. Your life means something. Are you living? Are you really living today? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're alive? In Christ, not only do we find our purpose, but in Christ we have a new perspective. We have a new perspective. Do you notice, I told you about the difference in Mary that the resurrection made when she physically saw that Jesus was alive, when she heard His voice. You look at the responses, the difference between verse 15 and verse 18 and verse 2 and verse 15, Mary is consumed with what? Mary's consumed with finding the body of Jesus. She just so desperately wants to see His corpse. That's all she can think about is His body and where it is. But she's not focused on where He is. But where's that turning point? What happens? What happens? It's when the great shepherd calls her name that she finally recognizes His voice. It's then, right? It's then that the reality of the resurrection radically changes her perspective. When Jesus calls her name, Mary, she turns, stops looking for the body, and she turns and she sees Jesus. She recognizing, this is my Lord. This is my Savior. He is alive. I have seen the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in our God, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You see, the resurrection changes everything. When I realize that Jesus is for real, that He actually conquered death, that He is God, that He is the Savior, that He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, it changes everything about how I look at life. It changes everything about how I look at you, about how I look at my family, about how I look at school, about how I look at work, about how I look at money. I realize that my life is so short and that my life here is so temporary. But yet God created me for eternity and He gives me a purpose. And He gives me the power to live and do everything that He's created and called me to do. You see, when our minds are set on eternity with Jesus, the character of Christ begins to grow and overflow in our hearts and through our lives. When we realize the truth of the resurrection, there's no way that we can keep it to ourselves. We're going to tell the world. Our whole outlook on life changes because Jesus did not stay in that tomb. He is alive. Dear friend, I believe that the resurrection changes, radically changes everything. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I think that's the important question here to answer. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Billy Graham, a great evangelist, right? Great pastor, he said this. There is more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever lived, or that Alexander the Great died at the age of 33. There's more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet another pastor writes this. And I want you to read this quote here along with me silently. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that He said. If He didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what He said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like His teaching, but whether or not He rose from the dead. Right? It's not about my opinion. Oh, what if Jesus claimed that He is God and He actually died and He actually rose from the dead, what does that mean about who Jesus is? It means that He actually is God. Well, if that's the truth, then you have a decision to make. A decision that's going to affect the rest of eternity. Dear friend, it's my prayer that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He's the Lord, that He rose from the dead. Will you trust Him as your Savior today? Brother and sister, you know, in Christ, we are part of a family. And I want to ask you, are you living? Are you alive in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus alive in your life? Will you allow Him? Have you allowed Him to change you from the inside out? Have you allowed Him to change your perspective? Is He the one that you want? Are you allowing Him to change you from the inside out? Do you follow His example? Will you be His hands and His feet to a world that is so desperate and dying, in need of a Savior? Will you proclaim the good news that Jesus did not stay in the grave, but He is alive? He is risen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father God, we praise You. We thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. God, I pray that You would stir in our hearts, that You would help us to really meditate and really think hard about this reality that Jesus is alive. And what that changes, and how that should change our perspective, how that should change our heart, how that should change our desires. I pray that if there's anyone here that hasn't put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that they would do that right now. That they would confess, Jesus, I need You because I'm dead in my sin. There's no way that I could live up to Your standard, but I thank You, Jesus, that You died for me on the cross and You rose from the dead. And I confess You today, Jesus, that You are my Lord. I want to follow You for the rest of my life. I want to follow You to heaven. And I don't know what that looks like perfectly, God, but I know that You're going to show me. I know that You're going to give me everything that I need to live the life that You've created and called me to live. And so, Jesus, I give my life to You. I want You to be my Lord, my Savior. And God, my prayer is also for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, God, that we would never forget the reality of the resurrection, that the resurrection would stay in our minds, would be on our lips, that we would want to shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus is alive. And that our lives would be lived as a living sacrifice, bearing witness to You, God. That people would come to know You, come to know Jesus, and be saved through us. And so, God, I thank You. And I pray that as we sing the song, that as we respond to You, God, that You would lead us to step forward in faith, that You lead us to trust You, and that as we leave this place today, that we would not be the same. And so, God, I thank You and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God, dear friends, I want to invite you to stand with me as we respond to God. If you have made any kind of decision today, if you decided to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come and share that with me so that I can pray with you. If you would like me just to pray with you about something, I invite you to come as we sing.